Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sister work in fashion?
She does. She works for Lululemon.
Fancy clothes. Fancy clothes, athleisure. And she's got everything just going into work covered in cat hair.
If they shed, yeah.
What the hell does their bed look like?
They're not the hairless cats. You know, like eight or nine of them get in bed with
them.
Oh
my God, dude.
What?
Like, I think
this sounds like a personal hell of mine.
Yeah, honestly, same here. I like that Lance is a little 12-pound dog, and like, so it's easy for him to sleep under one of us. It's nice. It makes me think about the same way you said Amanda thinks, like, about Cammy. Like, oh, someday I won't have this. Larry hops up at the end of the night and sleeps at the foot of the bed for the last 2 hours at like 5 or 6 a.m. Eight cats in a bed it's a horror story, man.
I know, man.
They're scratching you. They don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, thumbs down. 12 cats?
12. Okay, so I was off by 7. Does that make it any better?
No! Once you get past like 4 cats, you can go to 5 or 22 and it's the same number of cats.
I overshot it a little bit, but that's
still a
pretty
big number.
Does
she remember all their names?
Still double digits, man.
This
has
got to be an Antonio Cromartie and his kids situation. There's no way she knows which cat is which.
No, she does. And they all have their own idiosyncrasies and stuff, yeah.
Oh, this here's George. He's tried to claw my eyes out 4 times. Oh, this is Larry. He poops in a human toilet.
I guarantee you, if we solicited calls on this, we would talk to people that have double-digit cats.
Yes. I think we probably do already talk to people with double-digit cats. They're the ones who don't turn their radios off.
If you have double-digit cats, 412-928-9370, tell us how many and tell us why, and you might win 2 tickets to see the Pirates and Phillies on Friday,
Pony,
July 19th.
You have to point this out, too. Pittsburgh has always been one thing.
Cat town.
That's right.
Andrew Destin from the Post-Gazette.
He has a lot of cats.
He's one of the Pirates reporters. On with Paul Zeiss today. We have some clips from this. He said this about the Pirates in the trade deadline.
This is a team that's 3 games under 500, 83 games into the season. I don't think they've shown you enough to say this should be the all-in season. I understand the sentiment of you have Jones, Skeens, and Keller, and you don't want to waste that. But I don't think the entire core has shown you enough that one bat is going to be the difference between this team being a World Series contender versus a fringe team. I'd look at the smaller pickups, whether that's getting old friend Miguel Andujar back from the Oakland A's. He would cost very little. I know some people would be upset about that and say, well, why didn't he get a chance here last year? But where I stand on that is just, this is not the team, in my opinion. This is not the year to go all in.
Do you agree with him? I don't. I understand the sentiment of Skeens, Jones, and Keller. He clearly does not understand it.
Can be very fleeting. At any moment, if any one of those guys were to get hurt, suddenly your calculus changes radically.
The whole point of that is when everybody's records get reset to 0-0 and it's a best of 3, best of 5, best of 7, you feel much better about your team because of your starting pitchers. And the 3 games under 500 point, they're playing a team tonight who won a World Series after they had an 83-win season. It happens all the time.
The Philadelphia Phillies were a 90-win team. The Braves won 104 games. The Brewers won 92, and the Dodgers won 100 games last year. And the Marlins won 84. The team that represented the National League in the World Series was an 84-78 ball club.
I know.
That caught fire at the right time. I mean, come on. And it's easier to catch fire when you have multiple pitchers who theoretically could go into a series and shut people down. I would disagree with Andrew, too, there.
Miguel Andujar is the name he brought up.
I've become a born-again... A born-again go-for-it guy because I was guilty back in the Huntington days, the salad days of Neil Huntington, of saying, be careful with some of those big prospects. No longer.
Miguel Andujar, who had 2 cups of coffee with the Pirates the last 2 years and was up and down between Pittsburgh and Indy. In Oakland, he has had a, quote, renaissance season. He's hitting .305, but he's only played in 32 games, not even half the season. 2 homers, 14 RBIs. And this is the type of reunion you want? That's the type of move you're talking about. He also went on to say this about how you can try to do two things at the deadline this year.
I would be really surprised if this deadline is an all-in surge to become a better team across the board and really load up. I think it's okay to add, but I think it's also okay to subtract in small ways. So that might mean, okay, one of Marco Gonzalez or Martin Perez gets traded. Maybe an Aroldis Chapman gets dealt. Maybe you see if anybody is a taker for a catcher like Yasmani Grandal as a true backup.
If Chapman gets dealt, one of the things that having great starting pitching can then lead to is if you have a very good shutdown bullpen in the playoffs, you become really, really difficult to deal with. We've already said if they want to try to contend and get in there and maybe be a dangerous team, you need a bat at least and a bullpen arm, another bullpen arm. If you trade Chapman away, you need two of them now.
Yeah.
And he has been better lately.
Okay, so why would you trade Chapman, Zeiss asked.
Do you really think there's a chance that Aroldis Chapman could be traded at the deadline?
Yes, I genuinely do. I think it's possible just because of the reality that they are paying him so much money, and because the second half of the season's coming up, they could shed themselves of roughly $5 million by dealing him. A contender would certainly like to add them to their bullpen, one that's, you know, a legitimate bona fide contender. And you could get some real prospects in return for him. I mean, you look at the way that he's been moved around the last handful of years at the deadline, whether from the Yankees to the Cubs to the Rangers to all these different teams. Like, he has gotten solid prospects in return. Now, some people may roll their eyes at that and say, we don't need more prospects. But I think what that allows you to do is be more legitimately aggressive once it becomes the winter. Once it becomes next year at the deadline, you have a bigger prospect capital that you can actually push for next season.
I just think you cannot assume next year is going to arrive and be the year that you think it's going to be. Bottom line.
I'm just mortified by the thought of them being still in this, three games out with the starting pitching to do damage.
And trading
you
away,
trade
guys.
Someone and you're not getting any kind of instant help. It's prospects and capital to use at a trade deadline to be determined when you're, what, theoretically closer than three games and you feel better about your starting pitching then than you do now? Yikes. And the other part of that I'm just, they have the lowest payroll in the National League, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're that concerned about potentially saving $5 million with Aroldis Chapman? Where one of the reasons why, one of the motives or one of the incentives to trading him is
to
not pay him $5 million the rest of the year?
That's no good.
It's not a $20 million player. It's not even, remember Francisco Liriano was making a lot of money when they traded him in that deal with Toronto and they strapped the prospects on with him to get him out the door?
Reese McGuire, Harold Ramirez deal. Famous Zeiss didn't know what he was reading because he thought it was so unbelievable. When it came down the wire.
Yes, he had this kind of reaction to it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. No, it's $5 million, man. I'm sorry. That's like very basic cost of doing business if you are contending. You're not trying to get out from under $5 million.
I heard that driving in today, and I'm like, oh my God, is this bleak? You're telling me buy and sell.
Who was a team recently that's actually sold while they're in contention? What, didn't the White Sox do that one random year and like piss off all their fans?
They did. I think Doug Drabeck was involved in that.
But I feel like teams have done it semi-recently.
That's going way back. That's 30 years ago.
That might be the one I'm thinking of. I thought there have been more examples recently of some teams doing that, and it's just a head scratcher.
Huntington traded Mark Melancon when they were still in the mix that one year to Washington to get the closer who shall not be named.
Yeah, Andrew... He's covering that team every day. I'm sure he's got a feel for it, but that is scary.
That's the feel? Miguel Andujar trading Aroldis Chapman and getting rid of as much as you bring in at the deadline?
That's just treating the year with nowhere near the urgency they all claim they
would. Well, he claims they don't need to treat it with urgency because they're three games under 500.
Just hang out. This is, you know what? He's describing the platonic ideal for every non-huge market baseball owner. Just linger around the playoffs.
Like a stale fart.
Exactly. Man, I farted in my car a couple days ago right when I was getting out. I got back in less than an hour later. That fart.
What?
That fart
you
was still there.
You preserved it?
Well, the windows were up, so there was nowhere for
Man,
the fart
I've
to go.
Man, I've never had that happen to me, Donnie.
I got
you?
Back in that
a
car.
A preserved fart?
And let me tell you something. That fart was still there. He's a good guy, and he's a stinky guy.
I didn't even know that could happen.
Oh, yeah. My brother claims that he calls it the Super Bowl fart. One of his buddies at a Super Bowl party farted, and 12 hours later, the fart was still in the room.
Could you picture the friend who did it? Does it make sense?
Normal looking guy, like, I mean, he just foul odors emanating from him. I think his name was Matt, the Super Bowl fart.
12 hours later.
It was college, so I'm talking there was like your wings, your beer, your usual foods that would probably contribute to such a thing.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What? You'll hear from Ben Cherington before the hour is up. Also, Greg Brown, 45 minutes from now. Pirates and Cardinals. Things about to get interesting at PNC Park. Big 7-game homestand, 3 with the Cardinals, 3 games behind them for the last wild card, and 4 games with the Mets, who have burst onto the scene. They got red hot. Grimace threw out a first pitch. They haven't stopped winning ever since. And they have leapfrogged the Pirates into the 7th spot in the NL. So they are the closest team to that wild card spot ahead of you. Couple teams like that. Diamondbacks and Giants, too. So very important for the Pirates to win these games. Lineup out. The bottom three is just disgustingly bad. Grandal is catching. Sawinski still playing and in center field. And Hayes is hitting 7th. Hayes, we brought this up yesterday, he might be the worst contract in Pittsburgh sports. His numbers against right-handed pitching this year.
Mm-hmm.
184 average, 242 on base percentage, 209 slugging. That adds up to a 450 OPS.
Is that good?
That's Austin Hedges level bad, Chris.
I know. I was asking rhetorically.
184!
And he's been good on defense, but he's made like 5 errors. I know. So not like really Key Brian Hayes level good.
I don't think Oliveras is anything special, but most days, and we'll ask Greg Brown this.
He's giving you better at bats than Hayes.
I would put Reynolds in center, and I would put Oliveras in left.
Oh, better bats than Sawinski then,
yeah,
for our purposes.
So I'm saying Oliveras goes in for Sawinski. Yeah, Sawinski's in the minor leagues, and you've got Joe, and Oliveras in your outfield,
Triolo should play for Hayes, but he's basically as bad offensively.
He probably still should.
But he is, like, almost as bad.
Yeah, they're about the same.
They have 2 third basemen on their roster that are like Brooks Robinson combined with the glove or some, you know, facsimile of it. And if you combined their OPSs, they might be a good offensive third baseman.
Here is Nate on the fan. Hello, Nate.
Hey, guys. So about the Pirates, I think they should make a move at the deadline because when you have Keller, you have Jones, and you have Paul Skenes, that's a bullpen that needs some help with the bats.
So how would you feel if they didn't do anything and traded Chapman? As Andrew Destin pointed out, how would that make you feel, Nate?
That would be a stupid move because you got to have at least 4 capable guys that can pitch the ball any night, especially if you're not too far out from the wild card.
And who are those 4 guys right now?
I think you got to keep Chapman, especially because I don't know who else you have outside of those because some nights for the Pirates are a bullpen night where there's too many guys pitching. So,
well, Chapman is in the bullpen. He's your 8th inning guy. Well, forget it.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
He wants them to go for it. ESPN, today, a story running on ESPN.com, Jazz Chisholm to the Pirates. With Paul Skenes, Mitch Keller, and Jared Jones, the Pirates are a team that could do some damage in the postseason. Where have you heard that before? They just have to get in. Making big and exciting moves isn't exactly in the Pirates' playbook. The last time they tried this is when they traded Tyler Glass, now Austin Meadows, and Shane Bass for Chris Archer. It was a disaster. But this is an organization that needs to take some chances. Otherwise, they're going to be stuck in the mud forever. They rank last in the majors in OPS from center field. So making a run at Chisholm and solving the hole there makes sense. That's from ESPN.
Now, we have been told Jazz Chisholm very overrated by some of our listeners.
And one of our hosts slash producer slash football aficionado.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not on the Jazz Chisholm bandwagon.
Would you trade Tamar Johnson straight up for him?
Sure.
Don?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I can say he's an overrated player, but compared to what they have out there, I mean, Jesus. Terrible.
Yeah.
I think you're right, though. I think, like, you made me laugh because I think the tone is just, like, the exasperated tone of people who have watched this team attempt to play offense for the majority of this year. I'm with you, man. You just said it in a funny way.
Their prospects have had such kind of mediocre blah seasons. None of them have the feel of being an untouchable to me. So if I can get a good center fielder for multiple years and I'm giving up one of these prospects, I don't care where they're ranked by Jonathan Mayo.
Correct.
I'm trading them
to make
this team better.
Henry Davis right now has had his rehab fully paused because he's had lingering, and this part sucks, concussion syndromes, or concussion symptoms, excuse me. Like,
all the more reason to make him change positions.
Well, yeah, and just I was using it more as an illustration, though, of enough with the prospects
have to be
hoarded.
And thank you for bringing catcher back up. Play Bart over Grandal, please.
But Yasmani Grandal handles the staff.
Oh, and their record when he plays is good. I'm sure Greg will tell us that in 40 minutes. Here's Kyle in Elwood City. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, man.
So I have... So how many cats did you say your sister had?
12.
Man, so my neighbor, it's the most disgusting thing, north of 60.
60?
Did I hear 6-0?
Yes, 6-0.
Kyle, let me ask... Yeah. Kyle,
is it a farm? Are they allowed to roam outside?
Roaming? Is this like a lot of space?
Nope, just suburbs. I mean, he has... probably just your typical one-story, two-bedroom house, and it has to be the nastiest thing.
Hold on a second. Now, Pony, look at your screen. You said it's your neighbor and it's a guy, right?
Yep.
Pony, we have another caller from Elwood City on the line who's a dude. The guy?
Let's see. Hello, Ryan. You're on the fan. Are you the guy with 60 cats?
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Some guy named Kyle from Elwood City said there's an Elwood City resident with 60 cats. Is that you?
That is not me.
Oh.
You know what? These Buccos, Andrew, Bucco fever, you know, and with Keynes, Keller, Jared Jones, this team is 1-2 bats away. Here's my trade idea.
I want to hear it in a second, but where do you come down on cats, and how would you feel about having someone next door to you with 60 of them?
Hey, whatever floats your boat, I guess.
Okay, fair enough, Ryan. All right, so who do you want to trade and what do you want back?
I'm still a huge Henry Davis believer, Andrew.
Okay.
Right now, I think Endy's the future catcher. I think they should tell Henry, you know what, if he's staying with us, you know, move him to right field. To Henry, we're gonna focus on your hitting tool. You could be a 20-25 home run hitter. Here's my trade, guys. Let's trade Hunter Barco or Harrington or either Ashcraft, because I'd rather keep Bubba Chandler, and trade Piguero and Henry Davis. Like I said, for
Jeff. You just said you're a huge Henry Davis fan, though.
I definitely am. I just feel like there's nowhere on this team where he's going to play.
So Davis, Barco, Harrington, Piguero for Chisholm. So 1, 2, 3, 4 guys for Chisholm?
3 for Chisholm. Barco or Harrington.
Oh.
Piguero and Davis. Davis for Chisholm Jr. And we could get Jake Berger in the deal or even...
Why would they trade that much for 3 Pirates players, one of whom is already a semi-failed number one overall pick? I actually wish that... I'm sorry. I just hoped that we had the 60 cat guy also on the line.
So did I. But
60 cats in a two-story regular-ass house?
I'm going to give you something that blows your mind. I think both sides would say no to that trade. I don't think... I think the Marlins would want someone better back.
And the Pirates
and
say we're not giving up on
him. If it was Davis, Piguero, and Ashcraft,
Pirates would say no.
I think the Pirates would say no to it.
So Ryan and Elwood City came up with the rare both sides say no hypothetical
trade. Yeah, I don't
think
the Marlins would feel like it was enough, and I think the Pirates would feel like it was
too much.
Yeah.
Going the wrong directions there, boys.
3:30 brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Putting the finishing touches on tomorrow's first annual 93.7 The Fan producer hot dog eating contest.
Pet peeve. It's not the first annual. It's inaugural.
Okay. Thank you, Malzi.
You're welcome. I had to say that.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Why?
Because I wanted to.
I think the promo says first annual.
I know, and I thought of it when I heard it, that as much as I love the promo, it should have said the inaugural.
Let's make sure.
It does.
On Wednesday, July 3rd, a new tradition is born. It's the first annual fan-producer hot dog eating contest. These men have trained tirelessly for the glory that comes with this elusive prize. Green jackets, Lombardi trophies, Stanley Cups, all pale in comparison to what these pillars of nutrition and physical fitness are vying for. The prestige that comes with being the best hot dog eater at 93.7 The Fan among the producer's staff. 10 minutes, 100 hot dogs, Harry Callis, Little Austin, Donnie Football, Intern Dom, Sean Randy Myers, Seabird, Seth Lundy, and more. We crown a champion July 3rd. History will be made right here on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
That is such a prestigious thing, to be the best hot dog eater among the producer's staff at 93.7 The Fan.
And now we have a trophy.
We do.
The Golden Jug.
Thanks to our UPS guy. I just call him the UPS guy.
Nick is his first name?
I believe so, but I just saw, hey, the UPS guy!
And I forget the name. I should know this. I forget the trophy engraving place that did it for us. They'll get a shout-out tomorrow.
Spot down on the strip,
yep.
He said.
And so we have that ready to go. We have everything set up in our Bowser Theater. Listeners will be able to watch it on our web stream, 93.7thefan.com. We'll also broadcast it live here. Josh Rountree coming in to provide play-by-play.
So what are we going
Jack
to do,
Hillgrove,
like, color
coming,
commentary?
Yes, Jack Hillgrove coming in to be the official timekeeper.
See,
and keep track of the hot dogs that
I'm
are
worried
eaten.
About Jack's role for one reason. I feel like it's a small but important role. To be the timekeeper.
In cahoots with Donnie?
No, I think Jack might just try to get too big for his britches and want to impose himself a little bit more on the competition somehow. Like, he's going to try to have some sort of a shady ruling
that
puts him at the front and center of this
I think
thing.
He wants to uphold the integrity of the event. I think he understands
so
how important it is.
So when you think it comes to inaugural hot dog eating contests, he is right down. He's Judge Mills Lane here.
Do you still feel like Callis, after working with him on Friday, is the favorite to win? Did you glean anything from that?
I didn't think that Callis actually was. I thought there was somebody laying in the weeds. Now I feel like I just got to watch Secretariat warming up.
Oh, boy.
The look on his face after he polished off 4 hot dogs in a time that I will keep to myself, the way he looked and the way he talked to me after it, it's like, you know how Usain Bolt guys would run in the 100 or even the 200, and he wouldn't be the fastest for the first 30 meters or whatever, but then he would just turn it on and dust those guys. That's how I felt about Callis after watching this
practice.
It's
eating hot dog. Yes. And I'm large and I'm in charge.
I think he is. He is large, and after Friday, I felt like he's very much in charge.
Donnie, how are you feeling? $500 on the line?
I mean, I have felt like Harry is the heavy favorite for this whole time.
But do you think that you could stir the echoes a little bit here? That you could dig back a little courage one more time?
We've seen you
maybe.
Eat a bunch of double stacks on the year in record time.
Yes,
correct.
Which, I mean, I know that was my pre-awaken time, but I mean...
Are you concerned that all the weight loss has stemmed your appetite and maybe hindered your ability to eat a lot in a short amount of time?
I mean, I can still pull it back and I think have one more go around for sure, like every now and then. I don't know if I have the space that I had before. Like The thing with the double stacks, like, if I do have a performance like that, I would feel pretty good. I mean, I know that the last couple took me a while. I got through 5 of those in about 10 minutes.
What's a number for you tomorrow that even if Callis goes on to have a Secretariat at the Belmont-like showing, you'll be proud with your performance?
You'll feel like you're going to feel like you're Seattle SLU.
I think if I can get the double figures, I mean, even if Callis runs away with it.
I think if you get the double figures by definition, though, he won't run away with it.
What do you mean? Greg McAtee, our traffic reporter, said he would be surprised if Callis had anything less than 20 in 10 minutes.
I don't think he's going for 20, unless he's trying to just go out there and route the field, but I think there's danger there.
There has been discussion about a surprise entrant for this tournament, this event, yes. Joel Nelson, who was one of my dark horse sleepers, COVID.
Knocked him.
He's had to pull out.
On his ass.
He's been eliminated.
So
COVID
we could
in
have
2024.
A complete dark horse here.
Well, there's been some discussion about James Polk getting involved.
Big Jimmy Polk?
Not George in Washington. But isn't there a Polk on the producer?
Ty Polk.
Ty Polk.
Ty Polk, ooh.
I mean, he is a producer.
He is a producer.
He is just a steady Eddie personality, too. He goes about his business. I think he would methodically eat about 8 hot dogs.
Kyle Dubas
minutes.
Is kind of guy, young and hungry.
Metaphorically hungry. Is he?
We all got to be young and hungry tomorrow.
Every time I see Ty, he's like, hey, what's up, Malzy? And I've known Ty for a little while before this, and he just strikes me as a very steady performer who he's not going to be. If he's a dark horse entrant here, and he's not a dark horse anymore. We're saying who he is now. So if he's an entrant in this, I think Ty will definitely be right in the middle of that bell curve of entrance. And
Donnie, I think you should text him right now and see if he wants in. Just like a poker game, a guy can't make it, the seat opens up.
Hey, you want to buy in?
See if Polk wants in.
What if Matty Ice Harkin shows up?
I don't know what I'd do then.
He's still crestfallen by the United States soccer performance last night, if we know anything about him.
I saw the passion I think we're on. A couple days ago. He is a big women's football fan.
But he also is a Riverhounds guy.
I know.
I'm going to double check with Mary Hours and see if she will get on our video screen
and sing
and perform the national anthems from Channel 2.
Like a video. Like, well, we just complained about how they're doing broadcasts on screens, and now we're asking Mary.
No one else stepped up.
Starkey?
He didn't. We did not get the kind of response we wanted from him. Maybe I might be able to do it. Well, we're less than 24 hours out now. We never heard back from Jimerson. I'm still disappointed that we couldn't even get a response from Jimerson.
Kind of tough.
Yeah. No one else stepped up. You'd think there's so many up and coming musical artists in town.
Yeah.
That they would want a piece of this.
But they don't.
Or they don't know who to reach out to. I'm not sure.
I mean, you're not that hard to find. Just jump into your mentions or jump into
your DMs. I thought
like
Wiz Khalifa might want to be a part of this. Get him to sing the Canadian national anthem or something like that.
There is a leaf on that flag, so.
Could you imagine?
What if he... Well, do you remember how the first season of Masked Singer ended up? It was, what's his name? The auto-tune guy.
Of course I remember how it went. No, I've never seen an episode of my life. Are you going to say T-Pain won?
Yeah, T-Pain did all the auto-tuning, and the big reveal was like, holy crap, this guy that auto-tunes his and other people's voices actually has like a phenomenal natural voice, needs no embellishment. Can you imagine if it turned out Wiz like was very quietly on the side, like a classically trained singer, and he just belted out the... like. Tears are streaming down Callis's face as the anthem is being sung.
Is there going to need to be, speaking of Wiz Khalifa, will there need to be some drug screening to make sure nobody's going with that strategy before they walk
this in? This is like the old bit on SNL with Dennis Miller and Kevin Nealon. It's like the all drugs Olympics. If you want to take what you need to take to get yourself hungry.
What would you take in that setting? Would you try to get high? Like back in the day, did you get weed munchies?
Oh, definitely.
You know what would be the one? No one can take this. It's an actual prescribed, like, over-the-counter steroid. You ever have to take prednisone for anything?
No.
Prednisone gives you just wicked munchies. Like, I've had to take it for anything from poison ivy to, like, a really bad infection. You take prednisone, you want to eat everything in sight, and you don't want to stop.
You think anybody pukes tomorrow?
Yes. I think we get a Vince McMahon. He's going to puke.
Does that call for a DQ?
I think if you boot, you DQ.
Yeah,
so,
because the hot dogs come out.
So like if Callis tries to showboat and he eats like 22 or something ridiculous.
And then but there has to be a set amount of time. If he pukes 10 minutes after the contest is over, is he lose still?
No, hold on.
Because then they will have come back up.
No, at that point, it's over.
So
when the clock hits zero.
In the 10-minute span,
yes.
You're out.
And I think if you puke early, I will allow a puke and rally.
Like college.
If you puke 2 minutes in, you lose those hot dogs, you start back at zero, and
can you
can
imagine
climb your way back up.
Somebody puking their way in, 2 hot dogs in, and then look at him go! He's coming down the back stretch! He's gaining strength!
Yeah. Is there anybody that you think we're leaving out as a... I think Seth. Seth is a... He trains
He's very
maniacally
determined.
About things. Exactly.
Yeah, Seth is very determined.
There's a Tom Brady-like steely resolve to him.
And there's a not even quiet confidence. I think when he was like asked about like a fitness contest with Pony, he basically said, I'd wax him.
Mm-hmm. He did say that.
He was very confident. He's a very determined guy.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long.
follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.